Support for this program is brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you.
The Local Thread.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of TPS Proud Out Loud. I'm Patty Mazur, Executive Director of Communications for Toledo Public Schools. And today, we're going to learn more about how other school districts in Northwest Ohio are preparing students for the future. While our mascots might be rivals on Friday nights, when it comes to ensuring student success, we're all on the same team. Today, I'm welcoming representatives from three local districts, and we're going to talk about how they're supporting their students, from classroom teachers to new career pathways. As educators, we aren't just preparing students for graduation, we're preparing them for what comes next. We're going to talk about the big wins and the challenges we're all facing in public education today. And I couldn't think of a better way to start today's conversation than with Dr. Katie Peters. And Katie is the Director of Communications for Washington Local Schools. She leads the district's communication strategy, helping keep family, staff, and community informed about key initiatives, student success, safety efforts, and district priorities. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to see you. Katie and I wear similar hats in our professional lives. So tell us what it means to be the communications director for Washington Local Schools.
Well, in its most basic terms, I tell people that I get to tell our district story. And sometimes the story is celebratory and joyful, and sometimes it is sad. And sometimes it is unknown. We sometimes just don't have the answers that people want. But in all cases, my responsibility is to make sure that our community is informed. So sometimes the best answer I have is we don't know that yet. We don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. When we know that, we will absolutely communicate it. And our community has seemed very appreciative of that answer because it's honest. We simply just don't know. We don't know what funding looks like tomorrow. Right? We can't predict that. We don't know. But what we can tell you is that our staff is extremely important to us and that we are going to do everything we can to make sure that our staff and our students are provided for in every way possible. So those are kind of some of the situations. But, you know, the celebratory days are a lot more fun.
That is for sure.
And there's lots to celebrate.
And I think there's so many misconceptions about public education, and we'll talk about that in a second. But talk about what Washington Local School District looks like. How many students, how many staff members, what your programming is like, who you serve.
Yes. So we are this anomaly because we are in Toledo, and so we are often confused with Toledo Public Schools. And there is a whole history as to why the lines were drawn the way they were drawn. It has to do with Shoreland and Washington Township way back before you or I were here. But ultimately, we serve a very similar population to the city of Toledo schools. We have a lot of legacy families where their parents and their grandparents went to school there. And so there's a lot of tradition rooted in Washington Local. A lot of our graduates grow up and buy homes in the district. They send their kids to the same schools they went to. And it's wonderful to see that longevity. It's also very hard to change traditions with those population because they want their children to have the same experience they had, and we're living in a different world. But we serve around 6,500 students and about 1,000 staff members. So it's a large district in a larger city.
And how many schools total?
Currently, we have 11. Hiawatha Elementary will be closing as an operational elementary this year, and we will be moving our preschool to the Hiawatha building, so it will no longer be an elementary. So we're going from our current elementaries down one. And then we also currently have a 7th building and an 8th grade building that will now be encompassed in our new Whitmer Middle School, which will be 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And it's going to serve 1,500 kids at once.
So lots of good things going on.
Yes.
So when you talk about telling the story of your district, the stories that you can control and you have the details for, and you are giving your elevator pitch
yes.
to a parent, to an alum who is thinking of bringing their student back, what do you tell them Washington Local Schools looks like today
as a district as a whole? Well, I mean, if we start at the very top, our high school offers 15 career tech programs, which immediately can place our graduates in the workforce. And I know Toledo Public Schools does great work with your flagship and magnet schools as well. And we share the same philosophy, right? We want our kids to be enrolled somewhere, employed somewhere, or enlisted. Right. So you have to have a plan. And so when parents come to us and say, well, you know, I have a fourth grader and I'm moving to the district, we say, well, we look long term. Right. We look at high school. Where will they end up after? What are your goals? And we can kind of steer that student in the direction of those things, because while we have a culinary program that starts their sophomore year, they certainly can have access to culinary through our camps and through our opportunities to visit. And those are the bite-sized morsels that let kids taste a passion. Maybe that is the impetus that sparks something in them. My own son at 12 went to a STEM camp at Whitmer High School, and he was in sixth or seventh grade, and he's currently going to graduate from college with an aerospace engineering degree. So it literally sparked something in him that he didn't know he was interested in. And that's what we really try to do, is steer that path.
And don't you think that we're helping students at those younger ages, giving them that taste, as you said, of what you're interested in today, instead of waiting until they're in high school,
yes,
or sometimes in college, mm-hmm, and in debt to their
right
eyeballs, and then they realize, oh, you know, culinary arts isn't really what I want to do.
Yeah, I didn't
or
love that.
Something in the science field that he's now.
Yep.
How do you pivot from that? So
right,
giving them these opportunities at much younger levels,
yep,
really helps students and families plan for the future.
That's right. And you know what I always say is, even if after graduation they don't end up in the field that they thought, so they go to our welding program and they weld for their entire high school experience, they have a great internship, they have a great experience, and afterwards they decide they don't want to weld. The experience of that has given them skills they will transfer, right? They now have work ethic, they have professionalism, they understand dress code and workplace norms, and they're still learning things. And it's wild we expect a 15, 16, and 17-year-old to know what they want to do for the rest of their lives.
What will you do when you grow up?
Right. I mean, I don't know. I'm
46. I don't either.
So it's just planting seeds that will be watered potentially later down the road.
And using welding as an example, okay, maybe they don't go into, say, a machinery factory, but they decide, I really love art.
I love art.
Think of what they can do with
that
skill.
Absolutely.
So it really gives them, as you said, so many soft skills that that kids can build on for their future.
Absolutely.
So knowing what you've got coming up, new schools, things are changing.
Yep.
What's the district's vision for the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, our vision, our school motto is, our district motto is always, every student matters, every moment counts. And so we really pride ourselves on creating experiences for the individual student. So even in the midst of all of this change, which makes people uncomfortable, right? Because I went to seventh grade at this building, and now my middle schooler is going to be at a building with sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. We still are going to have the shared experiences up for that student that they would like to see. So, you know, if you're really interested in theater, because you think musical theater might be a path for you, we're going to try to incorporate that into our middle school for your student. And if we don't offer it at the middle school, there are still opportunities at the high school to engage our middle school students. So it's really just a matter of knowing our students and being able to help guide that path, because every student matters and every moment counts. And those little moments add up to bigger moments that they will remember forever.
For sure. And don't you think as well, taking the idea of the middle school and introducing them possibly into a high school setting, mm-hmm, it gives them a sense of the unknown is not something when they make that transition, trying to break down those walls of, oh, high school. Oh,
right.
It's
right,
trying to give them that comfort level.
Right.
And it's so important that we try to help them overcome some of those anxieties.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that you guys are building those partnerships internally.
Yes, absolutely.
While externally, I'm sure. Talk about your partnerships in the community and how they're helping students.
We have amazing partners. We have communities and community support in terms of our businesses, local businesses that partner with us. We love when our alums go on to own businesses because they come back and want to help. And so they come back and they present to our kids. They provide opportunities for our kids. I know Perrysburg has a foundation. Washington Local Schools also has a foundation. I believe TPS has a foundation. And so those are extra opportunities that our business partners can pair with us and do. We've partnered with Bowling Green State University a lot for STEM camps and STEAM opportunities. And it's just really cool when you run into someone, and I know this probably happens in Toledo Public Schools all the time, and they say, oh, I went to, and they fill in one of your schools, yes. Right? There's a familiarity there. They feel like they're coming home to help. And that's really important. And you mentioned middle school, going to the high school as a scary, it can be a scary experience. But think about the idea that you're teaching kids they can do hard things. Sometimes things are scary, and you have the capability to do that because we're arming you, and we're trying to make sure that you have that confidence to move forward. And our business partners help us do that.
That's awesome. And you mentioned Bowling Green. The partnerships that we create with the local universities, yes. And colleges, mm-hmm. So our students have that seamless transition. Because as you talked about, we want our graduates to be employed, enrolled, or enlisted. Yes. And that is part of the 3E program that the state mandates that, yep. We track. Yep. So I think there's a lot of mandates that we as public schools, public education have to follow, and we try to help our students find those paths.
Right, absolutely.
And it sounds like you guys are making as many strides in that area as we try to for our kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
We talked about budget deficits. We talked about the unknown.
Yeah.
How are the constraints that are being put on public education right now, the budgets, the cut in state funding,
right.
The fair funding plan, how is that impacting Washington local schools?
Well, as with any public school, right, when you don't know, how can you plan? And if public education is a right, right, we've decided in this country it's a right that kids can go to school and learn, then why is it being funded like a privilege? And that's sort of the question that we continuously have to ask ourselves, because the state's own courts have said the funding system is unconstitutional, right? So there's not disagreement there, but there's also not forward motion in fixing it in a way that serves kids. So our job in the trenches, so to speak, is to make sure kids have a great experience and our staff feels secure and our staff feels supported. And I mean, I look at it as in terms of being a parent, right? You want your children to feel supported and safe and secure. But if the finances at home are tenuous, it's very difficult to put on a brave face to your children and tell them everything's going to be fine when you don't know. So it really is walking that balance. And as communications directors, I know you probably understand this as well, is we want to be honest about where we are and educate our population, because a lot of the general population doesn't understand school funding.
Right.
We don't understand it.
Because it changes all the time.
It doesn't. They move the goalposts so often, right? So we've got to keep our community informed and engaged. You talked about partners. One of the things we did this year was we bought a newspaper subscription for all of our employees, all of them, from custodians to nutrition service workers to our teachers to our principals. Everyone has a Toledo Blade subscription because we need our people on the front lines to understand what's happening in these laws and in these funding decisions, so that when they're talking to their neighbors on their front porch, they can say, actually, that's not true.
Right.
That's not true. They did fight that, and it was shot down. So we are just trying to arm our community with knowledge.
And giving them that information, they are our greatest ambassadors.
Absolutely.
Our staff, our families, our
students. Absolutely, and
our
they deserve
students,
that.
And they, exactly. Mm-hmm. So in the couple of minutes we have left, what do you think is the biggest misconception about public education?
I think the biggest misconception right now is that in some way our staff and students aren't as exceptional as other places. They are absolutely achieving at the highest of levels. They are going forward and doing amazing careers, amazing things after their graduations. And I think there is sort of an unspoken perception somehow that they are getting less than students in other schools. And unfortunately, the only way we can combat that is to keep working. to keep working, keep getting the messaging out. We have a kindergartner who just won a world championship in flag football. We have students who have their Eagle Scout badge by the time they're 15 and 16 years old. These are kids who are going out and tackling hard things from the ages of 5 all the way up to 18. And we just got to keep telling the story. We have amazing kids. We have incredible staff. And other places do too, because we don't need to throw shade in order to celebrate our work. The problem is we have to also understand that we're all in it together.
Right. That's so important. And I think sometimes it's forgotten. And so that's why I love the partnerships and the camaraderie that we have here in Northwest Ohio amongst the public information officers, the communications directors.
Yep.
We have a big list email that we can bounce ideas off of each other, and through ENSPRA, you and I are both members of that. It's good to know that sometimes we're not in it alone. What in your time with Washington Local, what is the one story that stands out the most to you?
You know, it's actually the darkest day, and it was followed by the shiniest light. And it would be there was a shooting outside of our football game a few years ago. And it was the scariest moment. We had a student who was shot in crossfire. And it was the scariest moment as a community. It's every school district's worst nightmare. And it turned out to be, although terrible and traumatic, also such a sign of the resilience of our people. We rallied around that family. We rallied around each other. We came together. Our community, there was not infighting. There were people saying, a bad egg came into our community and did a bad thing. It's not who we are. It's not representative of our experience. We had wonderful alumni support. We had great community support. And it really just highlighted for me that evil doesn't get to win. Bad things are going to happen, but love is always louder.
And there's so much that we can't control.
Yep.
What is your final message to those that are listening that you want them to take away about the good things happening in Washington Local Schools?
We feel privileged to get to love other people's kids. That's it. We feel lucky. We truly do, as a district, feel honored. There's no greater trust than when a parent puts their child in your care. And so we take that very seriously. And not only in terms of safety and security, which is always our number one spot of a priority, but also we want them to have a good experience. We want them to feel warm and welcome when they're in our space. They deserve that. Their parents deserve that. The world's scary enough. School should be joyous. Learning should be fun. And so we thank our community for that privilege.
That's a beautiful way to put it, and a beautiful way to end this segment. Thank you, Dr. Katie Peters. It's so good to see you.
Good to see you.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back on TPS Proud Out Loud. Welcome back to TPS Proud Out Loud. We're continuing our conversation today with representatives from other school districts in our area. And right now I'm pleased to introduce Jeff Abke, the Development Director for Perrysburg Schools. Hello and welcome.
Thank you. Hi, nice to see you.
Good to have you here with us. Tell us, what does it mean to be a Development Director?
Yes. Yeah, so essentially they do fundraising, alumni relations, and obviously with that comes some community engagement and involvement. We sort of talk about, I think a lot of people think of it more so at maybe the college or university level or even the private schools. And we're bringing that to public, or have brought that to public schools. You know, there are alumni, community members, businesses, families who want to support their public school district, and that's where my job and my office comes in.
That's awesome. And when you are talking with a prospective donor or a community member, what do you tell them about Perrysburg Schools? How many schools in your district? How many students do you serve? How many staff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have right around 5,700 students. We have 7 schools. Well, actually, I guess 8 if you count our preschool, which we should. So yeah, we have 8 schools. You know, Perrysburg itself is a community of about 30 to 35,000 residents. And, you know, we're really proud of what we do and what we accomplish. And we have a long history and a lot of multiple generations that have gone to school in Perrysburg. So we talk about, you know, and we're a growing district. So there's quite a good reach and a good reason to be involved in Perrysburg schools.
And so what is your quote unquote elevator speech? You have 3 minutes to talk to a prospective donor about Perrysburg schools. What do you tell them?
Yeah. You know, we are proud. We're proud Yellow Jackets, proud to, of all the work that we do. You know, we have about 700 staff members that show up every day and our mission statement is ensuring that all students achieve their greatest potential. And we do mean all. And our job is to find the ways to, even though we're a larger district, to make everybody's educational experience meaningful, impactful, and the best that it can be. And those take resources to do that and to have that individualized education for each student. And that's why it's important to support, mm-hmm. you know, that's what I tell them. That's why it's important to be involved with Perrysburg, because we make an impact every day on every kid.
And so many of the programs aren't always funded mm-hmm. through state funding or funding through other means. So I can see where private gifts mm-hmm. can help you maybe help a teacher's program in a classroom.
Absolutely.
And are those the kind of things that you're talking to your donors about, how you can impact a student's direct learning in the classroom?
Absolutely. So the bread and butter of what we do, so the Perrysburg Schools Foundation is the nonprofit entity that a lot of the gifts and donations come through. And that the bread and butter of what we do are called classroom grants. So a teacher, they may come, there's something they want to try in their classroom or do different in their classroom, and maybe it does fall outside of the what would be the quote-unquote traditional funding avenues, whether that's piloting a program or enhancing the experience in that classroom. So, we really do look at what are those, I'll say, added above and beyonds enhancements, programs that we can fund privately that, again, might not be available in the traditional budgeting process. We have a number of programs that we directly fund that would fit into that category. You know, we have a facility dog program. So we have a dog at each of our schools. And that is completely funded through private gifts. So it was acquiring the dogs, mm-hmm. the training for the staff, feeding the dogs. Those mm-hmm. dogs eat a lot of food every
month. They eat very well, some of them, yes.
So, you know, it's programs like that it is an important, mm-hmm. that's an important program. And it's great that we have found the ways to deliver that to our students and our staff through the generosity of others.
Just using that as an example, the impact that the dogs can have in a daily situation or a stressful trauma moment is amazing,
it is.
Right? I mean, you can sell that story and share that story, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you do, and that your donors love to hear how Skipper the dog helped students at whatever school that day.
Yeah, and I see it through. So my own kids are in the schools. I have an elementary age daughter, and my son is in the intermediate school. And to hear them come home and talk about the experiences of Angel and Kincaid, who are the two dogs in their buildings, you know, whether that was on them directly or their classmates or in the building. My wife teaches in the school, so to hear it from her. So I've got that personal touch and experience, but yeah, just to see the difference that makes, and that truly impacts, when I say 5,700 kids and 700 staff members, because the staff members, that makes it big on them. So that is a program that we're really proud of. And again, it's an important program that I hope would be in Perrysburg schools even without the private support of it. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we can do that through the private support and not have to think about where do these dollars come from is really, I take a lot of pride in that. Yeah.
And so much right now is an unknown in public education with funding. So I'm sure you get requests that you're like, sure, let me do some research on that. Mm-hmm. How has the financial constraints that have been put on public education through cuts from the FAIR funding program, mm-hmm. how has that impacted your work?
Absolutely. So I've been in this role for a little over 12 years now. And so seeing those requests that come through where it it usually has been, this is something extra I want to do in my classroom or with my program or on my team or my department, to now being like, well, this is something we used to do and now we aren't able to do it at all or certainly to the same level because of cuts that needed to be had. Can we, you know, replace some of those funds? So we're just seeing a lot of the shift of the requests and the asks and then the what we've been able to the gaps, I guess you would say, that we've been able to fill in. One such program that we're actually working on right now was field trips. You know, that was, we had to eliminate field trips because of this last round of budget cuts. And so this year, the request came to the Schools Foundation to say, can we do something for our elementary students so that they have an opportunity this year? And fortunately, we were able to fund that for this spring. So they're starting to do some field trips this spring because of this grant request to the Schools Foundation. And then that's going to kind of get us through till we figure out what the larger solution to that problem is. Right. But so whereas before that was always just something that was in the budget.
Right.
And it's
because
not anymore.
Because it was part of a broad scale education for our students. So given all of this, how do you ensure or reassure, especially since your wife is a teacher, your kids are students, that Perrysburg Schools is doing everything they can to maintain that quality education for students?
Yeah, and I give a lot of credit to, you know, Tom Hostler, who had been our superintendent for quite a while, and the board at the time when this position was created. And I'm the first person, I guess the only person that's been in this role at Perrysburg, because it was very forward thinking at the time to think about, okay, we need to figure out how can we do more with, we first of all, we have people that want to support us. So let's give them the vehicle in which to do that. And how can we begin to, I would say help ourselves a little bit. I don't know that that's the right choice of words, but you know, how can we help meet these needs in this challenging environment? And it's not going to get any better. I think we all recognize that.
Yep.
And so just being creative, thinking outside the box to use a cliche, I guess, but to say, yeah, you know, there are some things that we aren't going to be able to do that we've done in the past or things that we are going to want to do and what avenues are out there. And seeking private dollars is a great start to that. I always tell people, you know, we've been averaging about $1 million a year raised over the last 6 to 7 years here, or at least at Perrysburg. You know, our operating budget is $70 million plus. So we're never going to completely replace the needs for levies and state dollars and so forth. But that's more than we were going to be able to do before without seeking these dollars.
And it has such a lasting impact on alums especially, right? Mm-hmm. Or folks that want to come in and give a charitable gift or whatever, an endowment. They want to make sure that the sustainability is there.
Absolutely.
So when you have a graduating class go through, what's your message to your new alums?
Yeah, we say that we have a saying, and I hope most schools do, that, you know, once a jacket, always a jacket, you know.
Right.
You've only got one alma mater, right? You've only got one school that you can be part of, and this is going to be yours forever. So we're here to help you and support you, because that Yellow Jacket Network is a powerful one. But also, you're going to be asked to be part of that, and certainly financially. We hope that that's financially, but giving back, come to your reunions, agree to be a job mentor for a graduate class, do some mock interviews. If you're living in Denver and some other recent Perrysburg graduate reaches out to you and says, hey, I just moved to Denver, can you help show me around? Say yes. Help, you know, build that network. So that's what I tell our graduating class, that you're with us forever. You may answer the call or not answer the call. We hope you do, but we're going to be here forever for you.
And it's amazing when you think about how far out our graduates go, right? Mm-hmm. And that connection and that continuing impact that they can have. What do you think is the biggest misconception right now of public education?
Oh, that's a great question, an important one. I think that there's all kinds of, what is it, fraud, waste, and, you know, fraud and waste and abuse, I guess. Yeah, you know, because there's not. I mean, anybody who is honest with looking at where dollars are spent and impact that is made, I challenge people to truly find this the waste that there claims to be. Doesn't, you know, everybody's looking. I mean, you I know you see it in mm-hmm. your role. I mean, you look at how hard our teachers, our administrators, everybody works on with what they have, and every dollar that gets stretched out, and every volunteer hour, and every, I mean, go down the list. It is not what it is. But I also understand it's expensive. It's an expensive endeavor to fund education across the board, to do it and to do mm-hmm. it well. So expense and investment does not equal waste and fraud is, I think, one of the biggest misconceptions I think that's out there.
And that's a good point. And I think that it sometimes goes into, well, it's public education. Are they really getting the best education? It's amazing what you hear kids are doing, mm-hmm. whether it's kindergarten, seventh grade, or graduating after high school, what they've gone on to do because of the education they received, whether it's Toledo, Perrysburg, Washington, local, because of where it all started.
Absolutely.
And it's part of where do we all fit into the broader educational scope in Northwest Ohio? Mm-hmm. Are we maintaining our competitive edge? Are we just as good as the other guy? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's funny. We, you know, I share this quite often that I am all for every. I used to work in the private schools. I've worked at the college and university level. I have spent 25 years, which is hard to believe, working in education of some realm or another, and of all different types. And it is such an important investment and to make either individually or as a society or as a community. And I want every student to find the best and every family to find the best match for them, whatever that may be. And I believe that absolutely can be public schools. It can be private schools. It can be homeschooling, you name it. But every student should have that opportunity to find that for them. But one should not be at the expense of other.
And, that's a good way to put it.
You know, and, uh-huh. you know, and I don't begrudge anybody that I hope everybody finds that opportunity because everybody should have that choice and that opportunity to find that for themselves. But and even across districts, you know, we have a very collegial environment around here in Northwest
Ohio. Yes.
You know, if you know, Washington Local, Anthony Wayne, Bowling Green, TPS, if they do well, that's only going to be great things for us in Perrysburg and us as a society. And, you know, Toledo and Northwest Ohio is a great community to be part of. And in order for us to excel as a region, we all have to be doing well. And from the workforce to property values to just having a nice place to live, it is important that everybody succeeds. So I always try to lift all of our schools up in whatever way we can.
And public education is a right. And people that don't choose public education, that's fine. Choice, as you said, is important. But it's tough when you hear people cast doubt or aspersions on what we're doing just because of something that they think they know or read online. So, yeah. But I won't go into all of that. Anyway, let's talk about what you want what's the most important thing you want them to know about Perrysburg schools?
That we have great schools. We have great families. We have great outstanding students, of course, great staff members who are, especially thinking about our staff, you know, we're in it for the right reasons. I think this goes across the board. My parents are both educators. You know, again, I come from a long
That's
line
awesome.
of educators who are just amazing people and are doing it because they want to pour into kids and make students and then communities be great. You know, I think Perrysburg, you know, we kind of sort of laugh that we're, you know, the other side of the river here. And I just want people to know that we are facing very similar struggles and issues in the house, in our schools, in our town that lots of other places are. Nobody's immune to what's happening. But also nobody's got the corner market on success either. We're very successful. We're proud of that. We've struggled, but every community, every school is successful and struggles as well. And we've got to all be in it together.
And we all have our challenges, but we still, the celebrations outweigh those challenges. And the one thing you can say about any person that you meet, development director who works for a school system, a teacher, food service person, bus driver. They're in it for the right reason. They want to see kids thrive. And that is the one thing that always gives me comfort and hope. What is the one thing that you have hope for public education as we move forward?
I think, again, seeing it from a parent and an employee and in other ways, you know, and I think, and I guess I'm trying to, it hasn't been a great run right now. I shouldn't say the schools have been doing great. I think the perception, the rhetoric, the legislation has not been on the side of public schools. I think that's starting to shift. I think people are more aware of what's happening, more aware of the importance of what happens in Columbus. And I think they're starting to find their voice and stand up for public schools a little bit more.
That's fantastic. And I hope you're right. Jeff, thank you so much for being with us today. And we will be right back with more TPS Proud Out Loud. Welcome back to TPS Proud Out Loud. We're continuing our conversation today with representatives from other local districts in our area. And right now I'm pleased to introduce Mr. Matt Gieha. He is the superintendent for Springfield Local Schools and has held that position for 9 years. Before becoming superintendent, he had held several roles in the district, including assistant superintendent, director of federal programs, and middle school principal, and has been with the district since 2004. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's great to have an opportunity to sit with you and share some great things about public ed in Springfield.
Thank you for that. And that's exactly what we're trying to do, to educate folks on the benefits of public education. And let's talk specifically about Springfield Local. How many schools in your district? How many students do you serve? How many staff? What are the highlights?
So lots of highlights. Staff for us, obviously that's a large body, but those that are specifically employed through us are about 400. Then we have a number of third-party contracts that assist us with all the things we do for our 3,400 kids in the district, preschool through high school. We have one high school, one junior high, a fourth and fifth grade intermediate, and three preschool through third grade facilities. So six in the district. We do and have always had for the past 10 years an online option. It's unfortunately shifted over the years, but we're always trying to find ways to provide a different avenue for kids if a traditional classroom isn't the best environment for them. So currently we have an online option for sophomores and above through our high school.
That is so interesting. And did you see a lot of uptick in that when after COVID, or was that something that enhanced through COVID?
So we started it over 10 years ago, and I began it with just 10 kids because we wanted to do it really well. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to do it with live teachers and some online content when you were either at your home or in a separate facility that we had created as well. And each year it grew by over 10. So we had a couple hundred in there before COVID hit.
Okay.
However, when COVID hit, it jumped up to 600 of our children took that as an option.
Okay.
And a year after COVID dwindled back down to where we were, about 200. Mm-hmm. But then the funding that came with that from the state of Ohio was continually being cut back as well for what you got for a child in an online environment versus what you got for a child in a traditional classroom. So we had to trim some things back so we could still offer something online, but manage it the way we could afford to do it.
That is so forward thinking. And in public ed and in your role as superintendent, I would think forward thinking should be one of the top skills that they look for in a leader. So when you think about Springfield Local Schools, what makes it competitive in the educational landscape that we're all part of today? What do you tell your community members and families when they say, why my students should come here. Tell me that.
Because our people are wonderful and beautiful, those that work for us in any department. And I know a lot of schools can say that, and I hope they all can, but even though on the outside people think public ed all looks the same, it is not when you get into the specific structures that each school offers. And each school offers so many great programs and professionals, and that's where the schools differ from each other in good ways. Springfield, we've always had a JROTC, that Junior Officer Training Corps program. We've had that since 1984 in the district. Okay. And that has created a culture and a history that's unlike anyone else in our area. And the people that are a part of that, and the families that have grown to trust that program and look for that for their child, to teach them leadership and structure, and to find a place in a high school if you don't fit in all these other categories that everyone offers. Mm-hmm. I just had a parent who asked to talk to me because we have a levy coming up, and the parent asked how he could help us pass that levy. And when you hear those things, you get very excited as a superintendent because you've got someone who sees the future and wants to contribute beyond just their positivity and sending kids to class. But this parent was out in the public and interacted with two separate Springfield employees, and those employees, classified and SEA members, identified their kids in public, said hello, and was so impressed that outside of the classroom, outside of the hallways, outside of the bus, Springfield employees identified his kids and said hi to them and knew who they were. So he reached out and said, how can I contribute to what's already happening and keep that going? So that's a thing I'm very proud of, when the people I work with care about our kids and care enough to walk up to them outside and just say hello and say hi to their moms and dads. That's what Springfield is, and that happens in the band. That happens in the arts. That happens with our kids at the Penta Career Center. So it's a great partnership that we have. We also have radio program, 97.7 FM, that our kids run out of the high school. Yep. The instructor for that is wonderful. The kids that participate all see a purpose in that and a potential path going forward after high school or into college and communications. So those are some of those unique things that Springfield has. And one of the cooler things that not everybody knows, our junior high is from 1938, and we still operate it in the same way it was constructed. The woodwork is the same.
Wow.
Unfortunately, some of the plumbing is too, so we're continually fixing that. But we have such beautiful facilities, as old as they are, that just lets you know that the people that are taking care of those facilities do it with great pride. From the aides to the custodians, the bus drivers, the cafeteria staff working in kitchens that are decades old, coming up on 100 years.
That is so incredible, and especially in a time where build new. But doesn't that that must give your alums what a great sense of pride in that you're protecting history? Yeah, and do they see it that way? Do they think, I remember that classroom, that's how it was, I remember this school?
Yeah, we've done a lot with the Holland Historical Society and have given tours so they can see their old high school. Cool, their old classrooms. And a lot of them can't believe it's still the way it was back then. But they love seeing it and the stories they tell. I've been so proud to be a part of that and getting to hear the history, even though I've only been around for 20 some years. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing things from people that graduated in 1954 and beyond that are still with us and contributing to the Springfield Holland history.
That's so great. What is your 3 to 5 year focus for the district? What are your goals and your plans as superintendent?
So that's a very big, broad question, and I could spend an hour just responding mm-hmm. to that and breaking it out, because there is an academic component to that. about what we want kids to achieve and improve and accomplish. There are classes we want to add so that every child has an opportunity to find something that excites them for after high school. Construction is one. At some point, we will need to do some facilities just when it comes to the cost of upkeep versus what would new construction be. But none of those things can truly happen without the funding for public education that's greatly lacking right now. Mm-hmm. Right now, the state of Ohio is drastically drifting toward local property taxpayers covering the great majority of the cost to educate a child, where Springfield is now below a 20% share coming from the state of Ohio to support all that we do. And over 80% of that is falling on the property owners in Springfield, Holland. And understanding what it costs to educate a child is a maze and a really long math equation, but it comes down to your schools give a lot to the kids, the families, and anyone that resides in that area. Public and private and charter do take care of the kids and the families that choose to go to their educational facilities. But your public schools are the largest ones. Yes. And the investment into the kids and into that city or township, whatever it might be, is a great investment to educate everybody. And we do a wonderful job in Holland of taking care of those beyond our hallways and beyond our parking lots, trying to get as many people involved, to let them know Springfield's there if you need something, if you want help. Help us to educate those kids, because it doesn't just happen in the classrooms. And that cost to educate has skyrocketed, and the current state funding doesn't meet expectation right now when it comes to taking care of our kids, whether it is academic, whether it is an IEP, gifted, career tech, arts. All of those things are a piece of that child's education. And mental health. The world is a stressful place.
Right.
And we will always have stress and conflict, but what tools can we give to the kids so they can enjoy all of that while they navigate stress and conflict? Successful people can handle those two things very well. Stress and conflict will always be there, but what can we do for those children so when it comes to them, navigate it and come out of it successful?
Right. Especially when you think about students are in school so many hours per day, a lot of times the stress doesn't, or the trauma might not arise until they are at school. And then having that mental health partner or support built into the school is sometimes the first or the best mechanism to help that student cope. And I'm sure you see that every day.
Totally agree. And it's the misconception is that some people think that trauma only comes with low economics. It does not. We've seen it regardless of your economics. The stress and the trauma that children or families go through does not care about your economic status.
That's correct.
So we have kids and families that need help nonstop. A big piece is this transience that we've seen since 2020. Mm-hmm. The amount of children that come and go from any educational institution. We could have a child in the eighth grade and they've been to five separate educational structures, from public to private to charter, back to public. And there is sometimes trauma that has caused those transitions. Sometimes it's just the parents' careers and the travel that those careers require. So we have kids that move around and haven't been able to put an anchor down yet. And that leads to some of the things we want to offer and give them so they feel like they're anchored at school. And then they can truly start to learn and absorb the content or the classes or the teams and the clubs and the organizations.
And that the idea that a school is the anchor in so many ways for students. How do you see parent involvement? What's the importance of that in Springfield?
So I'll say a personal thing. I want parent involvement to be both parents. There is a lot put on moms. I'm a father, and I've tried to be as involved as possible with my two children that graduated high school and are each in college now. But I think it's very important for a father to be as involved as the mom. It's not just putting this all on a mom to do everything for the whole household and the family. So I'd love to see fathers more involved with their child's education, beyond extracurriculars, beyond clubs and teams, but fathers being as involved as mothers. But that parent component is a monster one. And parents need to keep expectations for their child when it comes to the classroom, when it comes to behavior, and when it comes to setting goals for that child for what comes next. Some parents want to put all the trust in the school and the teachers, and that's flattering too. But a parent needs to be involved the whole way through that course, through that journey. And it doesn't end after high school, and it doesn't end after college. You want your child to be independent, but you still need to have conversations with them so when things do fall apart, they can call you before it's too late for that guidance, for that assistance. We want parents as involved as possible, and not just one of them, but all of them.
That is such great advice, and really is a message that I hope all parents and all students are hearing and understanding that importance. Again, that anchor that you talked about. Talk to us about your greatest success as an educator, as superintendent of Springfield Schools.
That's a tough one. Because I don't look at my own success, but I love to see when our kids and parents do great things when their time in Springfield has ended, because they've graduated or they've decided to go to another course of action. But I love to see that they were successful after the fact, because it took a lot of people to get that child and that family to where they're going. And those are partnerships I love seeing. And we hear it and see it all the time, whether we're out to eat or we're shopping when that child comes up and is so excited to say, hi, remember me.
Yeah.
You know, we don't change. We look the same as the adults, but those kids do change and grow. So sometimes we don't recognize them instantly.
Yep.
But I think our success is getting to see the success of that child. And success isn't a job. It isn't college. It isn't a paycheck. But it's seeing that they're going in the direction they want to as a young adult. And that's what we want for them. And those are the things I've gotten to see over a long time in the time I've got to spend in Springfield, Holland. Start out as a junior high school principal, and those kids back from 2004, 2005 and after are all adults now. And a lot of them doing great things, and when we get to see them and hear how their life is gone, that's the success that we've had.
That's great. And unfortunately, can you believe we're at the end of our time already? What is the one message of hope you want to give about public education?
We need more people to advocate for public ed. And when you have a positive story to tell about the results you've gotten out of it, please share those results. Share the positives that have worked for you, whether it is your bus driver who said hi to you every morning the first thing and that changed your day, or someone in the cafe that made you feel good about what they served you, or that teacher and what they did for you, the patience they gave. Those are the things that public ed needs to hear, because it appears there's not a lot of support out there for public education when it comes to current legislators. So we need to hear those positives from the parents and the children about what public ed has done for them.
And that's a great way to end. Thank you for being part of this week's TPS Proud Out Loud. I want to thank my guests, Dr. Katie Peters, the Communications Director for Washington Local Schools, Jeff Abke, the Director of Development for Perrysburg Schools, and Mr. Matt Giha, the Superintendent for Springfield Local Schools. And I also want to thank you for joining me for this week's edition of TPS Proud Out Loud.
The Local Thread is a production of WGTE Public Media. Episodes can be heard weeknights at 7 on FM 91 or anytime at WGTE.org.
The views and opinions expressed in The Local Thread are those of the hosts of the program and its guests. They do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WGTE Public Media.